really nice? Donate your car to KPFT. You help KPFT provide great programming and you get a tax receipt. Call 855-KPFT-CAR. That's 855-573-8227 or online at kpft.org.
Welcome to Politics Done Right on KPFT. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Give me a call at 713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. And, of course, with me, I like to call her now my co-host. It's Roxy. How you doing today, Roxy?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little behind schedule tonight, but that's okay.
You know what? We all have to say we're behind schedule, and I see you handling the boards and trying to get my stuff loaded and waiting for the phones going. But I tell you what, it's stressful for me, too. I came here speeding. I am so glad I didn't get a ticket because I had my Kingwood Area Democrats meeting today. I mean, board meeting, and it went long. And, you know, actually, some folks are still out there, but we made it in time because we're going to have a great, great, great show.
Yes, we are.
You know, I mean, anyway, starting last week, all around was a tough week politically. Political dysfunction remained paramount, right? Today's program will not entertain false equivalences. The current political dysfunction, for all practical purposes, is one-sided. Republicans decided that they were going to live up to what has become their tenet. And what is their tenet? What is their tenet? Their tenet is that government does not work. They're doing a good job in ensuring it. They're ensuring that government does not work. We will discuss two issues, actually. We'll have the first issue, which is going to be the first the first will be Congress's suit against the president. The second will be the immigration refugee emergency on the U.S.-Mexico border. And later on in the show, we should have today's guest, which is Sarah Slayman. She will appear later in the show after she completes her weekly grassroots calls. This woman is a busy woman. She's out there in Fort Bend. Who is Sarah Slayman? Sarah Slayman is one of the heroes defending women's choice in Texas. She was one of the standouts during the Wendy Davis epic filibuster activities. Sarah Slayman was hauled off by Texas state troopers after excoriating the Texas Senate committee hearing testimony against the anti-abortion bill. She made national news then. It was not her 15 minutes of fame, though, as she stayed in the limelight as a frequent and beloved guest on MSNBC's The Ed Show. She was even there last week, so, I mean, she gets a lot of play out there. So let's get busy. But before we get busy, got to remember, folks, this is a call-in show, and that number to get to us is 713-526-5738. That number is 713-526-KPFT, and Roxy loves to say it this way.
713-JAM-KPFT.
Doesn't that sound great when she says JAM-KPFT? You know, it's going to be great. But, I mean, I tell you what, this week was sort of, or I should say last week was sort of crazy. Kind of made you wonder where we're going. I mean, just watching the news and seeing how a country like ours, a great country, how it is that we're dealing with the border. we're not having any kind of problems like you see over there in Syria or Palestine or these areas where there are really, really overflowing borders on little countries. So, I mean, it was just disheartening to watch the kind of rhetoric that we had. Then, of course, there is the rhetoric on the president that we had to watch. It was sort of a sad week to simply watch dysfunction. But before I get started, folks, remember that this is also community radio. So we depend on folks to really provide us with their funding, provide us with their cash. So we ask you to donate whenever you can. Right, Roxy?
Yes, we do. We actually have a summer fund drive coming up, and that starts, it's going to be our Summer Sizzle membership drive, and that starts on July 27th and runs until August 9th. So everyone just get prepared for that. We're going to, you know, we really need you. So if you could just do us, you know, just, it won't be that long. You just need to, you know, listen in and help us out.
And this show is going to need you. But right now, what are we going to do, Roxy?
It's time for the weekly blog post.
Well, as I mentioned before, it was simply disheartening this week to watch how we handle the border. So I wrote a little piece, and it was titled "Angry, Shameful Display of American Disdain for Those Other Immigrants." And I subtitled it "Shameful, Inhumane Behavior Against Immigrants by Americans Who Have Forgotten Their History." And this one hits at home, folks. You know, this one really hits at home. So let me read it this way. American citizens in Murrieta, California should be ashamed of themselves. Their lack of compassion for their fellow human beings is appalling. The Mexican border is bursting at the seams from refugees coming from Central America for various reasons. And folks, that's a part of the world that I'm originally from before I became an American. From Panama, así que hablo español. Some reasons are economic. Some reasons include the escape from violence. The legalities of dealing with this type of refugee influx were established in 2002 and modified in 2008. This was done under the Bush administration. There is, however, a humanitarian side that supersedes legalities. The video of angry mob that blocked the buses from temporarily housing women and children refugees as they are processed by Homeland Security is shameful. It displayed a lack of humanity that people across the world are now privy to. Generally, mobs like these typically love to promote themselves as Christian American patriots as they wrap themselves in the American flag. One wonders if they've forgotten Jesus' teaching. Matthew 25:41-46. Verses 41-46, Matthew 25, for those who are religious. It says as follows. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "O Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or sick in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Even more importantly, folks, this mob seemed to have forgotten America's past history and America's present actions. Before forcefully and angrily throwing immigrants out, they should remember that the many founders of this nation themselves were immigrants. They should remember as well that they came here as well to make a better life for themselves. The big difference is that in the process of migrating to this great land, the first immigrants violently took the land and enslaved the people to profit from the land. The intrinsic benevolence of many fought to make this country not what it was, but what it was to become, a more inclusive country attempting to widen democracy. Immigrants coming to America today do not have conquest on their minds. They just want a better life. They just want access to success. Many of these coming over from Central America are themselves victims of our policies. Americans prosper as raw resources and cheap labor are extracted from these countries and their people. They are aided by a Central American oligarchy and a band of degenerate thugs that are the conduits of the exploitation. Those protesting immigrants would do well to learn some history. They should realize that they themselves are but pawns in a game most in the lower and middle classes are losing and will lose. First blog of the day, and since I have many calls already, I think I'm going to skip the one on the president for now and move on to my first call. Terry.
¿Qué pasó, amigo?
¿Qué pasó? Háblame. Talk to me.
Well, I think it's an interesting discussion. This is something that I'm going to be more interested in learning about than commenting.
Okay.
I have an opinion, but I wanted it expanded by people who are more knowledgeable than me, so I will just stand by and listen.
Okay, so I'll put you stand by, and let's go to Sage at High Island. Talk to me, Sage.
Good evening, Alberto. Kind of surprised you actually let me get in.
Why?
I have to say I pretty much disagree with the majority of what you have to say.
Amen. I love to hear that, my friend.
Right.
Talk to me.
Okay, so my whole thing is, how do you feel about the idea of the Reconquista?
No, I know what you're talking about when you say La Reconquista. La Reconquista is a fallacy, okay? It's not true. I mean, the Reconquista is something that I would, if I were a person in the right wing and I wanted to bring up, get a whole lot of people riled up because we are coming back to take what was originally ours. Los Reconquistadores van a tomar lo que eran de ellos. No, that's not what it's all about. It's not even true. The people that you see coming here, I'm talking about, let's forget about this Central American crisis that we have right now. Okay, let's make believe that didn't happen. We have 11 million immigrants in here right now. The fact of the matter, well, before I go any further.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, that's why I said I wanted to, before I kept on talking, I wanted to give you a chance to talk. So tell me something.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Now, the wave of humanity,
mm-hmm.
and I think of it as humanity.
Yes, and I appreciate
coming,
that. I do appreciate that.
The southern border.
Yes.
Are they immigrants, or are they illegal immigrants?
Let me put the question. I'm going to answer that question honestly, but I want to ask you a question in a manner. How
sure.
do you feel about our founders coming to this land?
Well, I think the majority of the founders were. Well, they were English subjects,
mm-hmm.
and they had been raised in the time of the Enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
and they looked upon tyranny as something that was
normal.
Inherent.
Normal.
Yeah, what was happening there. Really intelligent people,
mm-hmm.
albeit in their time frame, we would look at them as probably racist,
savages,
misogynist.
Yes. Right.
But they saw what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that freedom was being denied to them.
Mm-hmm.
They rose up in a quite violent way against their king.
Right.
And threw off the shackles.
Right.
So what are we looking at now? Is the United States comparable to King George III?
No, sir.
Are we holding down? My main thing is this.
Yeah.
Is that where are the people
mm-hmm.
of Central America, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
why aren't they taking out their governments, their corrupt governments?
Mm-hmm.
I understand, again, a lot of people will go and say, well, those governments are propped up by the United States.
Right.
So what's the answer there?
Let me tell you.
Do we go after the United States? Do we change it from inside? Or do we go after the governments that are repressing their people so that they can have a better life in Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico,
you know what?
On and on?
I tell you something, Sage. I mean, I love talking to you because I can see, first of all, that you're an insightful person, and it actually sounds to me like you're a fair person as well. It really
does
sound to me that way. Okay.
Appreciate that.
Now, that said, I think you sort of hit it on the money. There is a lot in Central America. I don't know if you listened completely to the blog post that I read. What I really wanted to get across was that, in effect, a lot of the policies that we affected in Central America, and remember I told you that that's a part of the world that I'm from, and if you go to Jamaica as well, you'll see, like, we exploit the bauxite. In other words, we take the raw materials, and what do we return? We return produced material, which means the value added is done in the United States, and there's not much room for progress in these countries, and not to speak about us supporting the different oligarchies in all these different Central American countries, which in the process of supporting oligarchies and dictatorships create a vast vacuum for these criminals and vast vacuum for the disenchanted, all these things. And where are those people going to go when they don't have the opportunities in their own land? They go to that land of freedom, and which is the land of freedom? America, we know that. We know that. We've turned America into the land of freedom. So if we really want to stop the spreading of drugs, if we really want to stop the spreading of people coming across the border, we will ensure that the policies that we have and our greed for drugs as well is tempered. And what I'm saying is, for a lot of these people that form the mobs against these people that are coming in, what drives me crazy is that they don't see the full picture. They look at a mob coming into the country, or rather, they look at people coming into the country, and you have some that take advantage of that and says, they don't try to look at, well, why is this happening? Why are they coming here? And how can I solve this problem in such a manner that, we don't throw people back into a bad situation, or even if we have to deport it, we work on humane type situation, what our creed really has evolved to be. Don't you? And I don't see you not agreeing with that.
I agree a lot with what you're saying. My problem, and it's not with you, it's probably with our
government,
our citizens here in the United States, is that, well, government also, and the government, by and large, is supposed to be us. We are the government.
Thank you
We're
for saying
the people
that. Exactly.
Decide who is the government. Is that the two parties, they both play on each other's, for lack of a better word, heartstrings.
Right.
And in the end, it's just a power play either way.
Right. Exactly.
And we're not really concerned about, or they, the people in power, the people that have been elected, and the talking heads of the media. They're not really concerned about the actual truth of the humanity, like what's really happening to the people that are trying to cross the border.
Right.
You know, why are they trying to come across? What has led the situation for them to want to even leave their home country to come to the United States, which a lot of times, and I mean, you might disagree with me there, they come to the United States and they try to become American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Or they keep under the radar so that they can reap the benefits of living in America, and yet they still wave the flag of their home country.
Okay,
but their home country is corrupt.
Right.
The people in power in their home country are corrupted.
I need to stop you right there for a second, Sage, because
sure.
I need to bring some other folks in, but I want to tell you
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely, and I want to say, Mr. Alberto,
yes.
I appreciate you taking me on. I wish I could get your radio station where I live in Beaumont. I was actually down near the coast and was able to pick you
up.
You can
actually, let me tell you
Thank
folks,
you,
for, but before you go, I want to say, everybody, you can listen to this on kpft.org,
oh,
and
great.
You can stream it on there, but I want to answer something that you said that is very important, and
sure.
that is that a lot of people that come over here, in other words, I'm an American citizen. Legal American citizen. I still have my Panamanian roots. I'm a Panamanian, I have my Panamanian roots. I also have Caribbean roots. I hold that all together because that is what America is all about. My loyalty is to America. I can guarantee you there were so many Panamanians that came over to this country and fought in the Korean War. They fought in the Vietnam War. They fought in all these wars. The saying that you're Panamanian is the same way that you go into not to some parts of New York, and you go into an Italian village, there's nothing that anybody there doubts that they are, nobody there doubts that they are American. But they always talk about my Italian heritage. But they're American. So, I mean, I think they're, and I'm going to ask you to, before I leave you, I'm going to ask you to think about this. We have a tendency to accept Italian people that, or rather Americans that, you know, discuss their Italian heritage, Americans that discuss their German heritage, different than we discuss Mexicans who have that same sort of the Mexican heritage, or a Dominican who has a Dominican way. And we try to say somehow that is less patriotic than the person in New York who speaks about that heritage. So I think a lot of this has to do with inputs from the outside. All of us here that come to this country want to be Americans, love that we're Americans, and indeed have loyalty to this country. I think the message that goes out there isn't accurate, and we need to get that taken care of. But let me tell you something. I hope you continue listening to my show. And
I will do that.
And I hope that you do call in, because I like to hear different perspectives. So thank
sure.
you very much for calling in, my friend.
Well, Senor Alberto, I sure appreciate you taking my call, and I hope you have a good night, sir.
Thank you, my brother. You take care. Okay, San Antonio, John, my phones are kind of hot, so give me some quick ones here, my dear brother.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, you're talking about why people are coming over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the homicide rate per 100,000 residents, the rate in Honduras is 90.4,
mm-hmm.
which is the highest in the world.
Right.
El Salvador is 41.2. Guatemala is 39.9.
Right.
Mexico is 21.5. The U.S. is 4.8. Canada is 1.6. Denmark,
right.
0.8. So, I mean, this tells you something. It, you know, it's how these people who I see interviewed constantly – I mean, it should actually happen more, but I've been seeing more of it lately.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, you know, their brothers being killed, you know, their sisters being raped and being told, you know, you're going to be next. If, you know, and so to them, it's not even a choice.
It's real.
Like, you know, I'm just going to go because I'm going to be killed you know, if I stay here. And so, you know, I mean, that's the tragedy.
Right.
And so that's what really, you know, we should be focusing on is, you know, having compassion for the people. I think your post was excellent. And also the way you were approaching the immigrant situation, I mean, that is the way that that is excellent, because, you know, I have all of the branches, you know, I study genealogy.
Right.
So I know, you know, I can pinpoint to where, you know, about 50 of different people, direct descendants, where they came from. And, you know, that's important. I mean, your identity is important. But I mean, respecting other people's identity is just as important. I love international music,
John.
And I love the. Yes.
I appreciate it, because I want to hear some more from you. I'm going to throw you on hold, but I need to get Bruce in real quickly, and stay with me, Bruce. You're in, Bruce.
Bruce Barnes.
Yes, come on in, Bruce. Talk to me.
Oh. Well, I was just listening in. I was wondering about this, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. Back in the 60s, the immigration laws did not allow other people from coming in besides in Europe and Japan, some of the other places like that. I think that LBJ changed that.
Right.
And allowed other people from all over the world to come in. That was the start. They have had limited quotas to come in, and we do need immigration reform to make it fair from all over.
Absolutely.
But it's not immigration, it's refugees that are coming from the South.
I am.
And we have to do something about the refugees. You can't just, we do it for Syria and other countries that have refugees. Countries on their borders have camps and other meaningful places that's supported by the rest of the world. We need to do something like that.
Thank you very much, Gary. You're absolutely right, Bruce. Bruce, my lines are filled up, so I have to jump to another one. Let's see. Garrett Houston, come on in.
Hello, hello.
Oh, Tony. Oh, yeah, Garrett, talk to me.
Yeah, no, one thing that I think that a lot of people, when you say look at the totality of this,
right.
You need to go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s when these countries in Central America, the reform movements, the revolutions, when people were trying to overthrow the oligarchies in Salvador, Honduras, and in Guatemala,
right.
That who when they pulled the communist card, the governments down there, we jumped into action and made sure we put down all of those revolutions when people were trying to stick up for themselves.
Right.
So the result was, of course, perpetuation of the same thing. Now, this is sort of the fallout is those there's been zero economic change. I lived all in a couple of countries down there. There's been no change. So we have a responsibility in all this, being the ones that put down all the movements to change. Let me just say, they are run by oligarchs. I lived in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
It's insane how, I mean, it's blatant.
And we kept them alive. I mean, think about how many of these governments that we prevented. I can tell you from Somoza. I can tell you from Baby Doc. Baby Doc in Haiti, Somoza.
Yeah.
I can tell you about Viuda de Camorro, and all these people were actually propped up by the United States because we find it much easier to deal with dictators. I mean, look, dealing with a dictator is a lot more efficient than dealing with democracy, right?
Yeah.
If I want to exploit your resources, I get a dictator, I give him a lot of money, he puts his people down and he gives me his iron, his copper, his bananas, or whatever it is that he's going to provide. It's that much easier. And we've supported that. Our businesses has led our government to support these policies. And then in supporting these policies, we get the refugees that come over here, and then the American citizens who justifiably do not know the history, and that's what I try to get across to people. I don't get upset when I see things in certain manners. I get upset when after I explain things to folks, they don't quite get it. But folks like yourself, you're very important in this movement. You're important because you have to let that be known, because it's not something that is known by many. So it's always easier, especially in hard economic times, to say, well, look, I don't have a job. Why should I worry about now having to bring refugees in who are going to need jobs themselves?
Yeah.
It's very easy in these times, not realizing that it's a lot deeper than that. So, sir, thank you very much for calling.
I'm a teacher, and I teach refugee kids from these countries for 22 years.
Well, thank you for doing that.
They've been cut. This is not to be. It's been happening for 20 years, and I'll hang up on that. This not just started now. I've had kids coming since the early 90s without parents. This is nothing new.
Look,
okay, buddy.
I appreciate your call. Not only do I appreciate your call, but I appreciate the compassion that I hear for, you know, it's something that is desperately needed from folks here. We are a compassionate country, and we need to start behaving like the country we've taught ourselves to be. We've went from being a difficult country to a country that grew into humanity. Let's keep it there. Okay,
yes, sir.
Thank you very much, my friend. Let's go to Tony. You're on, Tony. Talk to me.
Yeah, I think your last speaker and the one before him.
Yes, sir.
I've put in a lot of input.
Yes, he did have a lot of input.
Yeah, because these people coming from whatever country it might be into the United States of America, let the citizen of this country stand up to the government foreign policy.
Right.
You can't be having economic hitmen in every country.
Yes, sir.
So putting down the economy of the country, because they're third world, they can't speak out because you support the government, because the oil or the copper or whatever or the banana plantation you have in other countries can keep on going.
Right.
When the people are fed up, They have no hope in their own country, and they're close to you. What do you think will happen? It's happening today. In Chile, we went there and overthrew the government and put, I don't know his name, Pinochet. And in, what do you call it, 90, Duvalier or whatever they call him, like one of the speakers said, we can be going into every country because of the big corporation.
Right.
And supporting big corporation.
Sir.
And taking one day, just like Bob Marley said, he said every day the bucket go down the well, but one day the bottom...
It's going to fall out.
But I'm
going to
fall out.
I'm going to leave you there because we have our special guest on right now. So it was, look, thank you for that call because what you said is absolutely, it's absolutely so. So let me roll to the next one and then I'll bring Sarah in. Thank you very much, Tony. Okay, Gary, you're with me and then we go to Sarah. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, I want to make two short points.
Hey, my friend Gary, talk to me.
I'm okay. How you doing?
All right, go ahead.
First of all, I think you're wrong about the Germans and Italians and Irish being proud of their heritage, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexicans were here before any Germans, Irish, or Italians ever were, if you remember. So I think that Mexican
not quite. I mean,
always been part of our fabric.
It all depends on what you call that, but that's a different discussion. So go ahead.
Well, I just want to point out something that nobody ever addresses.
Right.
And that is that we're all missing the big picture here.
And that is?
And, well, when I was born, there were 2 billion people on this planet, and
mm-hmm.
now there's 8 billion. And the people are overflowing into Europe and from various countries in Africa and Australia and China, and now they're coming up into the United States. The issue is not so much the political points of the Cold War and the communists and the wars in Central America. It is overpopulation, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. It doesn't matter if you come from Guinea-Bissau or Tanganyika or Nicaragua or Canada.
You know,
there's too many people on the planet, and that's what's happening. And
Gary,
that's why people are stressed. You got too many. There's not enough food, water, or jobs for all of us.
Gary, we're going to talk about that subject, about whether we're really overpopulated, in another show, and I hope you're going to call in then because that's a real important subject. So I'm going to leave you and have to jump to our special guest because we're already at the half of the show.
Thank you.
But look, thank you very much for calling, Gary, and let's go to Sarah Slayman. How are you doing today, my dear? How are
Hello?
You doing, Sarah?
Hi there.
Great. Look, it's wonderful having you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because I said it all in the blog, but I want folks to know who we're talking to right now.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks so much for having me on. My name is Sarah Slayman. I'm 29 years old and from Houston, Texas. I was raised in Portland County, where I'm the field director for the Portland County Democratic Party today. I've been an activist since I was about 18 when the Iraq War started, and I first kind of got into leftist politics. These days I focus a lot on reproductive health care rights, feminism, and just organizing around a progressive platform in Texas.
Now, let me tell you, Sarah, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, right, is because I've been preaching for a long time that we, the people, really need to get involved with our government, and we really need to get off our butts and really get involved.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I love about you is that you didn't only do it when it was easy, you did it when it was difficult. Why don't you tell us about what you did at the Capitol that actually made a difference?
I think what I did was I refused to conform to the kind of professionalized, elite political atmosphere in the Capitol. When we were all gathered there last summer, some organizations and, of course, like the officers and people that work at the Capitol were trying to guide a lot of us in our protests in a way that wouldn't make anyone uncomfortable. And I think you and I both know that that would be a kind of useless protest, right? Like,
right.
If people aren't uncomfortable and questioning things, nothing's probably going to change. So after days and, you know, what became weeks of playing by their rules and listening to them just let terrible testimony happen, ignore expert testimony, after some really bad moderation of testimony by the chair, I decided to go in and just kind of do oppositional research on each senator on the committee. And I just started going down the line and telling them why they were unfit to make these decisions and how what terrible condition Texas was in regards to human rights and why couldn't they focus on these things. And I said in a very blunt way, you know, I didn't curse or anything like that. But, yeah, I just looked them in the eyes and gave them a job performance review. And for that, they had me taken out by 4 DPS officers who, you know, threatened to throw me in jail for the night. And thankfully, because we live in an age of Internet, a lot of people were watching at home and a lot of people were watching inside the Capitol.
I was
and,
there at the
after
Capitol.
That, it kind of helped loosen things up.
Right.
And people started, I think the thing that made a difference, if I did anything, was that I showed some of the kind of old-time activists and people who are very new to politics that it's okay to be angry. You can channel that anger.
Now, what impressed me most, like you said, you went up there and the way that you confronted them, yes, you showed your anger too. And by the way, Excel, I'm coming to you next on immigration, but I need to get I want to channel activism into all these topics that we're talking about. And
yeah,
there's nobody better than Sarah to actually express how we as people sure remember that the folks who really run the country are who, Sarah? We, the people. And Sarah went up to that table. There's something that you said that I don't think you said here on the radio, but you reminded those folks that they worked for you and it wasn't the other way around.
Yes. That's our Capitol building. Our taxes pay it. We pay their salaries. We pay the police that they're, you know, putting some free speech zones with. That's your Capitol. And that's why I think when you were talking about why it's important for people to be active in their government, that means at a local level. You know, I think it makes people feel really big and bad to sit on their computers or sit with their friends at a restaurant maybe and talk bad about some major world leader. But I think it takes a lot more courage to go down to City Hall, go to someone who represents a district of like 80,000 people, 120,000 people, and look them in the eyes and talk to them very seriously about like a quality of life issue that affects you and your neighbors. So that takes more bravery.
Absolutely. That was very special because I tell you something. We watch you, I don't know, I probably saw you 4, 5, 6 times on The Edge Show talking about this, and I think one of the reasons that they have you on so many times is that is the kind of message that you put out there, and I think it's an important message for people to see somebody that is young, and not only young, but getting involved and making a difference. You are on the ground, from what I've read, in Fort Bend County, making things happen, things that shouldn't be happening in Fort Bend. So I think we all thank you for that. I want to leave your mic hot so that you can listen into the conversation. But I need to take somebody that's been on hold for a very long time who
sure,
really wants
ahead
to talk. So let's keep her hot and go ahead and come to Ixchel. Ixchel, you're hot. Come on in.
Oh, hello. My name is Ixchel, and I was just listening to the radio. And I'm going to go back to the guy who said, why are people coming in from different countries
right
and still representing their flag, right?
Right.
Well, my parents are Mexican. When I was 7 years old, my mother was deported back to Mexico. I have never lived with her ever since. I go visit her once in a while. And if you guys have heard in the news, for the past months, a lot of kids have been immigrating from Mexico to the United States. They're 3, 4, 9 years old kids. And what I was saying, why are these kids coming to the United States? Well, I have been to Mexico. In Mexico, they don't care about education. There's kids who are 4, 3 years old, and they're working in the streets. They're selling gum to buy bread. They live daily. They don't go to school. They don't study. They don't. The government doesn't care about their education. And here in the United States, we see it different. We know that the kids are the future. If the kids are not studying right now, who's going to take over this country later? And yes, we come from our countries to have a better future, but in our hearts, we still represent our country because we still love our country, but we're here. And once we're here, we pay taxes. We become part of the community. And I think it's great for people to still represent their countries once they're here. And I personally think that whoever makes up the United States is the world. The United States represents the world because this is the only place that I know that has a person from all around the world. And you in the United States, you can find people from all around the world. So to me, the United States represents the world.
Excellent.
And
Ishil, I need to stop you there first for a station ID that I haven't done twice that I should have. This is KPFT radio. It's a call-in show, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Now, it's interesting. I'm looking for all my things that tells me the different stations or locations of our stations, and it's not here.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell you.
Thank you, Roxy.
We are 90.1 here in Houston. We are in Galveston, we are 89.5, and in Goodrich and Livingston, we are 90.3.
Where is my sheet?
I guess it ran away.
Anyhow, I want to mention, before I ask Sarah to comment on that part of immigration, I want to say one thing to you, Ishil. You said something that touched me when you mentioned about who cares for whom in Mexico or other Central American cities, and it's something that I alluded to when I gave the discourse before. It is the people that you're speaking about are the people that are not within the oligarchy within these countries. Because, no, these countries all do care about education, but it's just not education for the masses. It's the education for the few. There's a latter part of your conversation that you said something very important. America is a country made up of many other countries of the world. It is a one country in the world. It's a one country in the world where somebody from another country can become an American and the second generation be the president of the country. It is one country when anybody can move in here, be the senator or whatever. That's what's great about this country that is not true of most other countries. You cannot incorporate yourself in a lot of other countries and become that of this country. Now, I want to take a slight exception with what you said with regards to my country. I am from originally, soy panameño, soy de Panamá, I'm from Panama. But right now, my loyalties first and foremost is to the country that I'm in, which is the United States of America. I am an American citizen. So I just wanted to say that for a clarification, because there are a lot of listeners who would listen to you say, my country, meaning Colombia or wherever else, that needs to be aware that that isn't exactly what you mean. We are first and foremost, once we become citizens of the United States, we are Americans, we pledge allegiance to the flag, we fight for this country. I'd like Sarah to come into the conversation on this.
Well, first of all, I think the call was really beautiful. I like the call. I like the sentiment of the call, talking about her mother and visiting. And I side a little bit more with the caller because I think that I kind of agree with you on this part, that the story of America is not like this crusty old, like, founding fathers gathered around the table, Constitutional Convention story. Like, that story, not many people who are Americans today can relate to, because those people were mostly all men and white. Those people brought people over to this country that forced migration with them and enslaved them. And those people made families who had no rights compared to them, women and their kids sometimes. The real romantic and wonderful and idealistic story of this country is the immigrant America.
Exactly.
The America that, you know, my ancestors came to when World War I started to escape the Ottoman Empire's fighting. The story of people who left Eastern Europe just in time and got here and started proud, you know, traditions and have contributed a lot. I mean, I think that's the real story. So when it comes to immigration, I think we need to think about the fact that the caller said these people pay taxes and they've always been a part of our American story. And when we enact trade policies and drug war policies that create even more destabilization, because the economic troubles of the world or the geopolitical troubles of the world have always brought people to our shores.
Right.
When we enact policies that, magnify that and make it worse, we should not be expected. You know, we should not be surprised that these people continue to come to our shores. Not a surprise at all.
Sarah, I don't think I see a difference between myself and the caller. What I wanted was clarification. What I want to say is that there are a lot of people that let's say somebody that's a 50th or fifth generation American don't understand about immigrants, and that is,
mm-hmm.
No, our loyalty is to this country, and mm-hmm. and what happens is, and I'm saying this is that that some of these statements are twisted, and I hear it today by the right, which affects our elections in a whole lot of times, in that they would use snippets of conversations to make it say, you see, that person is just coming to America to use America, and then they really don't care about the country. I just wanted to make sure and clarify that to ensure that Ixchel would never fall into that trap that somebody would set for her. So Ixchel, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I just want to make sure you never fall into the trap that other folks would try to get you into.
And sometimes you can stay out of traps, not by necessarily policing your own language, but by telling your story more.
Exactly.
Like you as an immigrant, and somebody probably knows as an immigrant, like Jose Antonio Vargas doing such good work right now, basically living his life as an undocumented person in front of everyone. By telling your story, you can help people understand things, because when the right wing talks about immigrants that way, like they're leeches and they're using,
right,
that's a fundamental misunderstanding and ignorance about what migration is and immigration. And anybody who has studied these things know that immigration, even if it's for good, it's a trauma.
Right.
It's hard work to leave your country, get over whatever the barriers may or may not be here to get here, settle in. That is hard, no matter, you know, except for the very, very richest people who might be able to come here and bounce around. It's
absolutely
a tough thing. So they cannot be cast as these leeches when it's like some of the biggest, most traumatic, life-changing moves in some people's lives. You
know? Absolutely, Sarah. Sarah, stay with me. Ixchel, is there anything else you need to tell me real quick before I go to Bethany?
Oh, no, that's completely fine. I totally agree. And, yes, well, I am a U.S. citizen, but I still do represent Mexico because that's where my ancestors come from.
Absolutely.
But I love the United States. I am loyal to the United States, and I love both.
In
my heart, I will always represent both.
Absolutely. There you go. That is what we're talking about. Thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate that and loved your story.
Thank you.
Bethany, you're hot. Bethany,
hello?
You're on. Hello, Bethany.
Oh, Stephanie?
Oh, Stephanie. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay, I missed a little bit of the some of the comments that Ixchel made.
Uh-huh.
But I'm actually calling with a question for you guys.
Sure.
Both of you that are on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an immigrant. I've become a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself to be an independent. I really don't fall on any,
excellent,
you know, party lines per se.
Right.
And I just want to hear your comments. Where do we draw the line? Like, what are your thoughts about, you know, the problem with immigration as far as the, you know, the burden it places on, you know, the United States financially, and Ixchel made a comment about we pay taxes. Where do we draw the line? Because there are people who come in who are not paying taxes, who are not giving back to the society where they're looking for a better life.
Okay.
You know,
I get your
what
point.
What are your comments? I'd like to hear your comments.
I'm going to
about
answer
that
first, and then I'm going to ask Sarah to answer. First of all, the reality, you know, there's a reality and then there's an imaginary reality.
Mm-hmm.
There's an imaginary reality that says immigrants cost a whole lot more. Look,
yep,
there are people who are coming. We have in every society people that don't produce, and then we have those that produce. I want to say that if you take a look at I live in Kingwood, Texas, okay? I remember when Kingwood, Texas was being built. Do you think those nice, beautiful homes in Kingwood, Texas could be affordable absent the type of labor that came here? Absolutely not.
Time out. Do you even think those houses would be built?
Thank you. Thank you. There's a noise on one of the things that we need. Okay. Yeah. No, here's the reality. No, there wouldn't be. I'm glad you've brought that up, Roxy. There's something else you were wanting to say.
Yeah, no, I have my own opinions on immigration that have been voiced and are continue to being voiced on this program tonight. But my, you know, main thing is when I was working another show, an immigrant, activist,
mm-hmm,
he was doing something for immigration, and he said, drive on one road that has not been built by an immigrant.
Thank you.
Go to one fast food restaurant that has not worked at by, you know,
employed, so,
yeah,
employee,
employed, like, who doesn't hand you your food, who isn't a U.S., you know, like, take away everything that is that is you wanted to find as an immigrant worker,
right,
an immigrant job, there would not right, your luxury of life would be gone.
It's important to note, folks. It's very important to know that yes, you can. I can cherry pick data to show that yes, some of these people use the medical services, some of these immigrants use X service and don't pay for it. But then I can show you how many $billions immigrants put into Social Security that will never be able to collect because while their employers pay, they have a Social Security and they pay into the fund, they cannot take out of the fund because they're not they don't have a green card or they don't have U.S. citizenship. So that is a possibility. Let me get Sarah to come in, and then I'm going to ask you to come back in, Roxy. Sarah, come on in.
Rather than, like, let's think about this as the left and, like, everything you want to talk about, let's stop taking defensive positions. When people bring up tax points like that, they're trying to assert a narrative, like you said, that immigrants somehow don't pay in or that immigrants somehow have all these luxurious benefits. If we want to talk about who's not paying taxes in this country, let's talk about almost every single major corporation who's offshoring their taxes and escaping sometimes up to billions with a B dollars in taxes. That could be fixing the failing infrastructure and education systems in this country.
Sarah, I want to stop you there. You know why I want to stop you there? Because you are the type of messenger that that the group have been needing. I like what you said. Stop taking a defensive position.
Right.
I love
if
that message.
Taxes are the issue. Let's talk to corporations before I talk to this first-generation immigrant from Guatemala who puts up people's fences for a living. I want to talk to Chevron. I want to talk to Valero. That's why I want to talk to about unpaid taxes.
You know, that is what, and let me tell you, Stephanie, the reality is that immigrants have always been a net positive. And you know how you know it's always been a net positive? Because they're still here. America,
yep,
does not allow things to stay stay a long time if it's a net negative. That is some. Right now, the only reason immigrants are used is because they are a political tool.
That's right.
A political tool to divide. And if we are able to divide folks, we can then control the electoral process. That's what it's all about. We have people fighting against each other. We have people fighting in the streets. And then the plutocracy get away with what it wants to get away. Is that any kind of answer that you wanted to hear, Stephanie?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear, you know, your thoughts, both of your thoughts on, you know, on this aspect of, I mean, this is what we hear. That's the propaganda,
right,
that's out there. I'm
right.
an immigrant myself, and I know. And I do realize that, you know, being an immigrant, I understand how it's, you know, coming to America provides this whole world of opportunity. And if you work hard, you know, you get your returns. You know, you
right.
live a better life and all of that.
Right.
But I often wonder, where do you draw the line? Like, you know, when does it become too much? I don't know if you're getting what
I know what you're saying. You're saying, can...
Well, when does it become critical mass?
I know,
you know?
Exactly. That, you know, and that's a very good question. In other words, what would we do if Mexico, Brazil, Venezuela, mm-hmm. and everybody decide that they're going to just rush into our borders and come in? Of course, that's unsustainable. That's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. We don't know where it's at. What we do is we use policies to, first of all, handle the immediate problem that we have now, and we also have policies to mitigate that problem continuing. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we take care of the problem that we're having with the refugees right now, and at the same time, we start to try to mitigate what's happening in Guatemala, Honduras, Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
El Salvador, and all these other places. It's a two-pronged situation. It's not a simplistic answer. It is, we do what we have to do. I have another caller. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for calling. It was a great
Thank
call.
You.
Eric, come on in.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Eric.
All right. Yeah, thanks for talking about this. This is great. It's a big issue right now. And I guess I just wanted to remind all the white people out there that we are all illegal immigrants in this country.
Yeah,
you hear Sarah? Sarah gave you the hooray.
Illegally immigrated here in the 1600s, and it's just so pathetically ironic that white people are you know, have an attitude about this. It's just crazy, you know.
I am not going to go there, and we just gave you,
with our backs wet and everything. So, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you. We gave
Thank you
very much, Eric. Eric, we had to give you your 8 seconds there, buddy. Okay, we had to cut that one out. We are very, you know, we don't do those things. But Sarah, look, I love that energy. We are almost close to the end of the show. We have to get. It looks like we're going to have to get one more call in real quickly. If I can get a name of that, Gary, real quickly, Gary, give me about 30 seconds. Go, Gary.
Oh, I'm here.
You're there, Gary. 30 seconds, my friend.
I've been listening with great interest to this discussion, and I don't think you're being sort of disingenuous.
Oh, my God.
This guy calls into every show and says anti-immigrant stuff, Eduardo. I'm not going to waste any time talking
well, wait,
to this
I
guy. He calls every show.
Okay.
You're not different.
Yeah.
This country was built by immigrants.
Right.
That's
but
right.
But you're not differentiating between immigrants, which my family is one,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that built the railroad and the cops in New York and illegal immigrants.
Okay, you know
you
what?
Yeah,
Gary, I'm going to have to let
Gary.
You go on this one just because I have
well,
another
I don't
call
care
to commit.
I'm on the air, but you need to address this. You just say immigrants.
Okay,
immigrants.
I will. I
That's
tell you
no,
this.
People aren't illegal. No, people aren't illegal, Gary. Get a hobby.
No, illegal
this show.
Is illegal. I'm talking
get
about
a hobby, Gary. People aren't illegal. Stop saying that. They don't have
that.
Documents.
Okay.
The privilege of documentation. Congrats.
You've got to play word games. Undocumented immigrants.
Okay, all right. Well,
all
go
right.
on and keep telling us which children we should be calling
These
illegal and
biased.
Should be,
you
know disliking and making the difference. Tell us about who built the railroad. You Asian, Gary?
Okay, anyway, let me go. We have 1 minute left, so I want to give my two buddies a quick 15 seconds to say something. John, as you can see, we had a full call, so talk to me real quickly, please, John, but I need to hear you. Tell me that you enjoyed it.
Oh, very much so. Really, really great show, perhaps your best show ever. Yeah, I just want to say that Sarah was great, and I love her on the Ed show. And
she is great.
And also, Ixelle was fantastic. She
Thank
was,
you, John. I got to
like,
run to Terry now.
Hopeful for the new generation.
Yeah. It gives us hope, John. It gives us hope. We got to run to Terry. Thanks for calling, John. I'll talk to you next week, or actually on Saturday. Let's go, Terry. Terry, you're hot. Real quick, give me 15 seconds.
Yeah, my only concern, given the humanitarian crisis, is that I have a little bit of a concern that every single narrative from every single person interviewed on every single television interview is always the same. They're all fleeing persecution. They're all
right.
fleeing imminent death. They're all fleeing gang violence. They're all fleeing imminent violence. And, you know, the logical part of me says unanimity is always a sign that there's trouble, so that everyone is continually and unanimously stating the same thing. Fraud.
Thank you very much. I got to go. I'm on a hot time now. Terry, thanks for your opinion, and see you next week.
See ya.
Okay, folks. Sarah, first of all, thank you for calling in. I mean, I've wanted you on my show for a long time because we need activism, but I got to go. I'm at a hot stop. Thank you for calling, and we'll talk, okay?
Bye, Bruno. Have a good one.
You too. Now, take care. Folks, this has been one more edition of Politics Done Right. Thank you very much for being with me.
Thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. You can personally reach me by sending an email to egberto@politicsdoneright.com. Remember, Egberto is spelled EGBERTO. Change starts with you. 90.1 KPFT gives you information not tainted by corporate interests. Please visit kpft.org and contribute. Let's ensure continued access to real information and news remain available to all. Again, thank you very much for listening to Politics Done Right.
Based on the teachings and philosophy of Nichiren, the lay Buddhist organization
Soka Gakkai International's philosophy is rooted in the concept of human revolution, a process of inner transformation through Buddhist practice. It is a process that leads each of us to develop our character and to act not only for our own personal fulfillment, but also for the betterment of society. Members, through their practice of Buddhism, develop the ability to live with confidence, to create value in any circumstance, and to contribute to the well-being of friends, family, and community. SGI USA Houston hosts introductory meetings Mondays and Saturdays for those interested in learning more about Buddhism. These meetings are free and open to the public. You can get more information online at sgi-houston.org. That's SGI.
And this is KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, and this is Jazz Latino.